thank you, ladies, for that offertory. That was beautiful, wasn't it? It's excellent. We're over in John chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. As you're finding your place there, go ahead and stand. I'm going to read the verses 1 through 3, if you'll join me on verse 2. Jesus praying to His Heavenly Father as we open up the chapter. John chapter 17, verse 1 through 3, if you'll join me on verse 2. The Bible says, "These words spake Jesus as He lifted His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to it. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much that we have Scripture and verses about Your Father, or Your Son, talking to His Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank You that we can come today and we can hear about Your relationship that You had with Your Son. And God, that we can know that You loved Him. And God, I pray that You would now meet with us. We need to hear from Your Word. I pray, God, that You would come and be in our midst this morning. If You come, then all of our needs will be met. We'll thank You for it. Bless the song and the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Special day after day. That's what the Christian life is, one day at a time, doing that which is right before our God. We're over in John chapter 17 and verse 1 through 3 we just read. Jesus had just completed His supper, the Last Supper, with His disciples. And Jesus said to His disciples, "I want you to come with Me to the Garden of Gethsemane." And He took a few of His disciples a little bit further into the garden while He left some there in the garden. Jesus Christ began to pray to His Heavenly Father. And the Bible says in verse 1 that He lifted His voice and He spake these words. And chapter 17 really is Jesus talking to His Heavenly Father and having this last conversation with His Heavenly Father before the soldiers came to take Jesus Christ to Golgotha. And so Jesus Christ said, I want you, disciples, to come with me. And I can just imagine as the disciples were watching Jesus pray and as they were watching Jesus pour out His heart to God, that Jesus Christ was very fervent. I'm sure they saw that He was very earnest about getting His prayer across and having that sweet fellowship with His Father before it would be broken on Golgotha. And so the Bible says that Jesus, He mentioned in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Jesus Christ said, Father, I want them to know You. Father, I want them to know You. I can remember different times when I would go over to my in-law's house as my wife and I were dating. We would sit down and we'd start looking at photos. And if you haven't met my father-in-law, he's always got a camera on his hip. He's always ready to take your most embarrassing move. And then he's ready to send that to you. And he takes so many pictures. And so my father-in-law, he's got several different photo albums. And we look through those different photo albums together, and they would rehearse different memories that they had or relive those memories together. And I can remember my father-in-law looking at me a couple of times and saying, I wish you could have known my father. I wish you could have known my father. And Jesus Christ here in the Garden of Gethsemane, He says, God, I want those who have accepted Me as their Savior to know their Heavenly Father. My desire today is that My children knows their Father. Jesus talked about His Heavenly Father during His earthly ministry 58 times. He said, My Father, My Father, My Father. And He went on to explain a certain characteristic about His Heavenly Father. Have you ever had a best friend? And you want your best friend to meet another acquaintance that you have. And you say, boy, I just can't wait till you are able to meet my best friend. Or I can't wait till you're able to meet this particular person. You're so excited. Jesus Christ was that way in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said that they might know Thee. Father, I want them. My desire is that they know You. Jesus had no greater desire than for Christians to know their Heavenly Father. You may not be very close to your earthly father. I do not know your situation. But there is one Father that wants to be very close to you. And there's one Father that you want to be very close to, and that's your Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ said, my Heavenly Father is such a wonderful, awesome Father. I want to introduce you to Him. I wish you could have met my Father. I wish you could have met my Father. I can hear those words in my mind. I wish you could have met my Father. My father, or my father-in-law's father, passed away quite some years ago. I wish you could have met my Father. Jesus Christ was telling the disciples that they might know You. Father, I want them to know You. You see, in the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, we find courage. Our Heavenly Father has everything under control. In the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, we have great joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. With the knowledge of our Heavenly Father that everything's all right up there. With the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, we have peace and we have confidence and we have courage to continue on. Knowing our Heavenly Father helps us live our Christian life the way we ought to. With Satan knowing that, he places a false identity to our Heavenly Father. You see, how many times have you knocked on doors and said, well, tell the old man upstairs, give the old man upstairs a prayer for me. A false identity to our Heavenly Father. Let me tell you, your Heavenly Father this morning is not gray-haired and not old, wrinkled up, and can barely hear and walk around in heaven. No, He is young. He is as young as eternity past and as eternity future. And He is strong and just as wise as He has ever been. And He is not getting old on the throne this morning. Now, the world likes to give us a false identity of our Heavenly Father. You see, He's on life support. He can't help you. You can barely meet your own needs. How can your Heavenly Father meet your needs? He can't. The world would love to make you believe that He's a grouch. And you pray to Him and He sits in heaven with a great big billy club ready to find out when your next wrong move is and knock you over the head. That's what the world would love for you to believe. But you know what? It's just the opposite. You take that, flip it 180 degrees, and you've got the truth about your Savior. And Jesus Christ said that they might know their Heavenly Father. I want them to know their Heavenly Father. How bad do you want to know your Heavenly Father this morning? I think all of us desire to know our Heavenly Father. Let me say, no faith has ever been greater than its idea of God. No faith has ever been greater than its idea of God. If you have an idea of God that He's old, decrepit, that He can't hear, then you know what? You probably don't pray a whole lot. If you have an idea that your God is not able to answer prayer, then you know what? Or meet the needs that you have in your life, you probably don't have a whole lot of faith in your God. You see, your idea about God has a direct effect on your faith. If you think you have the most powerful God in all the universe, then you know what? You're going to bring your prayers and your petitions before your God, because you have great confidence in your God. So Jesus Christ said, Lord, it's very important. I want to make sure that the believers here on earth that I have ministered to, I want them to believe and know their Heavenly Father, because their idea about God is going to affect their faith in God. Then I believe your idea about God will determine your actions towards God. Your idea about God will determine your actions towards God. If you think God's just is laid back and lets anything go, then you know what? Your actions and you won't feel like there's any responsibility of your actions. Well, God won't bring me to justice, or God won't bring chastisement into my life. I can live whatever way I want to. If I have that kind of idea, then my actions are going to follow suit with that idea. And so Jesus Christ said, I want them to know my Heavenly Father. There's a man by the name of Daryl Gilliard. Daryl Gilliard was 27 years old when he preached a message on Old Time Gospel Hour. Many of you have heard the ministry there, the Old Time Gospel Hour. When he was 27 years old, he got on that broadcast and he preached. And he told his story about growing up in a home that he didn't know his mom and he didn't know his dad. Never met either one of them. At 9 months old, they had dropped him off at a friend's house, never to return and pick him back up. And Daryl, he told his story, and boy, with a broken heart, he said, I'd love to meet my father. I'd love to know my father. Daryl completed the message and went on about his life. And it was about 3 weeks later that he got a note in the mail. He opened up the note and he began reading this note. And it was from a lady in New York. And her name was Deborah. And Deborah said, I was watching the Old Time Gospel Hour and I saw you preaching on there. And I heard your testimony that you have not met your father. She said, I know a man with the same last name that looks just like you. If you're interested in finding your father, give me a call. And she gave her phone number. Daryl hardly finished the letter and he picked up the phone and he began to call. And Deborah answered the phone and he said, this is Daryl. You sent me a letter saying that if I wanted to find my father, I could contact you and you could probably direct me to possibly my father. And she said, I can't believe, Daryl, that you called me, and I can't believe that this is all working out. And so they talked about plans, and Daryl left and flew down to Florida where she was, and they got a ticket to with another pastor, and they went up to New York where his father was in the hospital. He said while he was on the hospital going to the sixth floor, it seemed like the elevator took for an eternity. 27-year-old man, never met his father. He said he got to the sixth floor and he began to pace that floor. He saw the room that his father was in, and he just walked in front and walked back and forth down the hall. And He said, I just couldn't grab control of myself. I was about ready to go and see my father for the first time. I was about ready to hear my father's voice for the first time. He said, I could hardly bring myself together to walk in that room. He said, I paced the hallway up and down for several minutes. And finally, I walked into the room and I looked on the hospital bed, and there was my father that I had dreamed about for 27 years. He said, I stood there at the end of the bed and I just gazed at him. He said, not a word was spoken for 20 minutes. I just looked him in the eyes and I looked at my father and I said, boy, I have so much to tell you, Father. I have so much to learn about you. So much to learn about you. And they sat down and they began to talk and discuss. And he said, an hour passed and time flew by. And he said, what a wonderful thing it was to get to know my father, 27 years old. And finally he came and met his father. Might I say that you have a father that has not abandoned you? No, but rather we leave him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. No, we haven't been cast out or rejected from our Father, but we've wandered away from him. And our Heavenly Father says, boy, I can't wait to spend time. I can't wait to show them who I really am. And you know what? You have a wonderful Heavenly Father in heaven that wants to get to know you. And I would like to preach a message this morning entitled, May I Introduce Your Father. May I introduce your Father. You have a great, mighty, powerful Heavenly Father. First of all, I'd like you to see that He is a Father with all power. He is a Father with all power. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 17, and as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He says, as thou hast given him power. He said, Jesus Christ was given power when he came here on earth. But the power was from his Heavenly Father. His Heavenly Father is the very source of power. God is power in and of himself. God, the Bible says, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. In Psalms 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Bible says he is of great power. And you know what? You and I like to take this old black book and we like to read the different stories where God revealed his power, don't we? Huh? The Red Sea, man, it doesn't get much better than that. You read the story about the Red Sea when the walls of the water stood up on both sides as the children of Israel walked across on dry ground, huh? How cool is that? I loved to have been there. What a great God we have. What a powerful God. Now, we read that kind of as a fiction story, I know that, but it really did happen. Huh? And we've heard it so many times that it really doesn't move us. But it is as a result of a very powerful God. Very powerful God. We come to other portions of Scripture. I love to read the story about Moses going out, taking the rod and smoting the rock. The children of Israel were thirsty, and the water came gushing out of that rock. And might I say, that was not a stream or a little gush of water or a little spring that came up out of that water or out of that rock. But it was a great big mighty flow of water that came forth. And the children of Israel, their thirst was quenched. What a great God. What a powerful God. To bring water from a rock, to split the Red Sea wide open and let the children of Israel walk through on dry ground. Come on, what a great God we have. What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. I like that the story over there where Elijah comes and he talks to the widow of Zarephath. And the widow says, I only have a little bit of oil left. And I only have just a handful of meal. If I mix these two together, I'm going to have just enough food for my boys. You understand, the famine has taken all of our belongings and it has taken all of our food and all of our money. I'm going to cook this and then we're going to die. He says, no, no. Go ahead and make me the cake. And then go back and look in your barrel. I can just imagine as she comes, she looks back in that barrel, and as she looks down in there, there's still a little bit more meal. She pulls that meal up out of that barrel, and she puts it on the pan, and then she looks in the oil bucket and she pours out just a little bit more oil, huh? And God just kept on supplying her need and kept on supplying her need. And I say, praise the Lord, we have a powerful Heavenly Father. Huh? Might I introduce to you your Heavenly Father? He is a powerful Heavenly Father. How many times, fathers, have your children come up to you and said, wow, you got strong muscles. I like to feel how hard your muscles are. Man, you're the strongest man in the whole world, your kids tell you, right? Yeah. It's all right for us to brag on our God and say, God, what a powerful God you are. What an awesome God you are. You did all the miracles in the Bible. You're a great God. But you know what? We enjoy talking about the power that God has demonstrated in these three different occasions. But might I say, there was a great need present before a great power could have been revealed. There was a great need. Let me back the story of the splitting the Red Sea up just a little bit. Before the children of Israel walked through on dry ground, they had the Egyptian army pressing their back that was ready to destroy them. That was ready to conquer the children of Israel and wipe them out. You see, there was a time of testing there. And God says, I need to bring you into a time of testing and hardship and difficulty so that you can rely on my power and I can reveal my power to you. Yeah, we rejoice in the fact that we have a great and almighty God. But if there's no need in our life, why should He be powerful? Huh? There's no need for God to flex His muscle. If I have no difficulties, there's no need for God to show Himself powerful and mighty on my behalf if I have no big prayer requests. Huh? So it takes both. It takes the hard times so that God can reveal Himself as a powerful God. Don't despise the need that causes the power to be revealed. You see, we get into a situation, the widow looks down into her bucket of meal and says, God, don't you understand? I have kids here. I have a boy here that needs to eat. Don't you understand, God? God, what are you doing to me? Put me through this trial. And God says, you just hold on. I'm going to show myself strong if you'll just let me bring you through this trial. You see, we can't despise the need that causes the power of God to be revealed in our life. We've got to say, Lord, whatever you bring into my life, let me take it with grace so that your power can be revealed through mine infirmity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, a very common verse to all of us, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Which word comes first, power or infirmities? Infirmities does. Infirmities. You see, He brings the infirmity into our life, the trial into our life, so that eventually the power of Christ may rest upon us. Listen, I know there's been some situations. I know you've been going through difficult times. I know that different things have happened. We had a brother in the church, Brother Ray Nemeth, gets a phone call. His brother passed away. It's a trial. Huh? And sometimes God says, let me show my power in your circumstance. Let me show my power in your circumstance if you'll just let me help you in this. And different situations go on, and hospital visits and doctor's appointments and bad news. And God says, I'm still a great, powerful Heavenly Father, even when those things come into your life. He says, you've got to let those things come so that I can demonstrate my power to you. You see, let me introduce your Heavenly Father to you. He is a powerful Father. He is a Father that has all power, and He can do all things with His will. You see, secondly, I believe that He is a Father with endless passion. The Bible says there in verse 23, back over in John chapter 17, the Bible says that, verse 23, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, And that the world might know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also know that Thou hast sent me. Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I love in verse 23 that Jesus Christ said His love is endless, and His love in verse 24 is never changing. Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ says our Heavenly Father has unending passion for you, unending love for you. No matter what kind of struggle or hardship you're going through, His love changes not. The world is looking for the love that doesn't change. They're looking for that love that is satisfying and it does not die. And God said, or Jesus Christ says, hey, let me introduce you to your Heavenly Father. His passion never changes, and it's always, it's eternal passion and love. Not like the teenage boy and the girl that are sitting and they're Google-eyeing and they're talking about love, and the girl says, do you love me? The boy looks back and says, yes, dear, I love you. And the girl says, would you die for me? And the boy looks back and he says, no, mine is undying love. I love you, but not that much. I love you. God in heaven, He says, I love you, and I died for you, and anything else that you are going through, I love you through that as well. You see, whether you have a good day or a bad day, it doesn't change God's love level for you. It's always the same. God loves you no matter the circumstance that you are in. Sometimes we feel backslidden. God loves you. The level of His love is the same. It's at 100%. When you feel you're right with God and everything's going your way, God loves you the same. It's at 100%. God's love never changes for you and I. And I'm glad that I have a Father that loves me that way. Because sometimes Caleb Hansen is unlovable. And I suppose you are too. The Bible says, loving or knowing His love keeps me from Satan's bitterness. Knowing His love, knowing that when I'm going through a hard time, that God still loves me, helps me, it helps prevent me from getting frustrated and angry at God. When God brings something into my life and I realize, God, I can't handle this. I don't feel like I can go through this. But God, I know You love me anyways. God, I know You care for me. No matter what kind of difficulty I'm going through, no matter how hard the hardship, God, I know You love me. It prevents Satan coming by and dropping those seeds of bitterness in my heart. And it prevents the devil coming by and dropping the seeds of bitterness in your heart. Have you ever seen somebody go through a trial? And all of a sudden, they're not in church anymore. And all of a sudden, their attitude towards the things of God are not the same. And all of a sudden, you run across them in the store or something, and it just seems like they're edgy. You see, instead of realizing that God loves them through the trial, they let bitterness, the seed of bitterness, be planted in their heart. And they've taken up bitterness against God. You see, can I introduce you to your Heavenly Father? He is a all-powerful God. He is a God that is with all compassion and passion for you and I. You see, we have a Father that also has a perfect plan for your life. We see in verse 23, it says, I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Jesus Christ said, Lord, You have a way of making them perfect, or perfecting them. None of us get to perfection until we get to heaven. But God says that, Jesus Christ said, Father, You have a perfect plan for them. God never brings anything into our lives that is not for a reason and a purpose. God says, I can use this to bring you to be more like Myself. His plan is to conform us to the image of Christ. The Bible says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, trials come into our life, and we must realize that God has a purpose for this trial. No matter what it is. You see, God's all-powerful. He brings a trial into our life so that he can flex his muscles, so that he can show us his power. He loves us through the trial. Then he has a purpose for the trial. God has a purpose for everything that happens in your life. God can use everything that comes into your life. You see, my yieldedness to his work in our yieldedness to his work in our lives will determine whether we accomplish his perfect will. If I buck against God and say, God, no, I'm not gonna let that come into my life. I'm gonna get bitter and angry. I'll never accomplish God's perfect will for my life. Instead of becoming more like Christ, I become the opposite. I become less like Christ, and I become more like the world and more bitter against God. So I must make sure that I understand He's got a plan, and I must yield myself to His will in my life. You see, let me introduce you to your Father. He's a powerful Father. He's a passionate Father. He's a Father with a plan. And then He's a Father that is worthy of all praise. Your Father is worthy of all praise. Boy, how many times do you see little, or you hear about little boys sitting around and saying, my daddy is the best at, my daddy is the strongest at, my daddy, they brag about their daddy, huh? Why should kids brag about their earthly father, then children of God brag about their heavenly father? Huh? We should brag about our heavenly father. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praising him and glorifying him. He is worthy. You see, everything he does is good. You flip back over to the book of Genesis chapter 1. It gives the account of the creation. And it says that he spoke this into existence and spoke this into existence. And every time he created something, he looked down and he saw that it was good. It was good. So do you think that he's going to look at your life and say, it is bad? You think he's going to do that? No, of course not. If God looks at the tree and says, that's good, he's going to look at your life and say, wow, I'm so glad that they yielded to my will. It's good. It's good. And so we ought to look up to God and say, God, it's good. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of all the adoration I can give you. You see, one day we're going to be in heaven. One day we're going to stand before the throne. Yes, we'll see the four beasts. And yes, we'll see the 24 elders. They're going to be crying out, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We're going to hear that, and I'll guarantee it. It's going to bring us to our knees, and we're going to say, God, You are worthy. My Heavenly Father is worthy of my praise. So, have we praised our Heavenly Father? Have we praised our Heavenly Father on this Father's Day, 2011? You have the greatest Father. Do you praise Him like He is? I hope so. I hope so. May I introduce you to your Father. He's a powerful Father. He's a passionate Father. He's a Father with a plan, and He's a Father that is worthy to be praised. Have you talked to Him today? Have you walked with Him today? You see, Jesus Christ noticed all these things. He knew all these things about His Heavenly Father. But He mentioned them to His Father right at the time before He went into, or before He was brought into before He was crucified. And as He went to Golgotha, or right before He went to Golgotha and died on the cross for our sins. The greatest trial that He ever went through was dying for you and I. Huh? And when did He recognize His Heavenly Father? Right before that. right before the soldiers came and took him away. And they whipped him and beat him and scourged him and brought him up there and crucified him on the cross. What was he doing before all that took place? He was recognizing his Heavenly Father. And so, lady or gentleman, this morning, boy or girl, teenager or young adult, I'm telling you, if you're going through a hard time today, you need to identify and recognize your Heavenly Father, because He's the one that can give you strength through the trial of your life. He's all powerful. He loves you with a great passion. He's got a plan. Nothing happens to your life on accident. God can work it all out for good. He's worthy of praise. Lift our hands up and praise God and say, God is good. God is good to me. I don't understand all the time, but God is good. And God, you have a plan, and I don't see the whole puzzle put together, but God, I only see this part here. And it doesn't look very good, but God, I trust you. And I know you love me. God, I'm going to praise you. How about it? I want to introduce you to your Father. I hope you love Him like Jesus loved Him. Jesus' sole desire was for you to know your Father, that they might know Him. That they might know Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Say, Brother Caleb, I don't feel like I know my Heavenly Father. I feel like I have a relationship, but it's not one of trust. I just know that I believe in God. But I want to know my Heavenly Father like you were talking about this morning. I want to know that He loves me and He's powerful enough to help me in my life. See, Brother Caleb, the Lord spoke to my heart. I need to do business with the Lord. Or maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, He's not even my Heavenly Father. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I die, I don't know that I'd spend eternity in heaven, but I sure want to know that. Brother Caleb, that's me today. Or maybe you'd say, yes, I have accepted Christ. I do know Him as my personal Savior. You'd say, if that's you today, and you'd say, Brother Caleb, I do remember a day in my life when I bowed my head and I accepted Christ. And He washed my sins away. Brother Caleb, I remember that day. If you just slip your hand up, I know that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. I have accepted Christ. I see those hands, many hands. You put your hands down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I don't know that. And I don't know that God is my Heavenly Father. I believe in God, but I don't know Him as my Heavenly Father. Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? I do not know that if I were to die, I'd spend eternity in heaven. Is there anybody like that today? Just slip your hand up. I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die, I'd spend eternity in heaven. A little boy, girl, teenager or adult, just slip your hand up. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I have been saved and I've been coming to church, but I've never taken that first step of obedience. I've never been baptized. And I want to take that step of obedience. Brother Caleb, would you just pray for me? Would you pray that I will take that step of obedience? Or maybe I've come today to get baptized. If you just slip your hand up, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. All right. Maybe the Lord slipped by your pew this morning, and He said, you need to know your Heavenly Father. Or you need to trust your Heavenly Father. Or your Heavenly Father loves you, and you need to believe that He really loves you. I don't know, whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about, I would recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in your pew by coming and doing business with the Lord. You say, Brother Caleb, the Lord spoke to my heart. I want you to pray for me. If you just slip your hand up, I'll pray for you. Have a word of prayer. I see those hands, many hands. Put your hands down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I have trusted my Heavenly Father, and He has helped me out, but I just have not praised Him like I ought to. Brother Caleb, I want you to pray that the praises of God are on my lips more continually. Would you pray for me? You just slip your hand up. I see those hands. Many hands there. Put your hands down. Whatever the case may be, if the Lord came by your pew and talked to your heart and touched you, I encourage you to do some business with the Lord this morning. Dear God, I pray that You be with us in the invitation moments here, Lord, I pray that You would help us to do business. And God, I pray that You would help us to trust You. You're a wonderful Heavenly Father. We do desire to get to know You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as we stand to the feet, the organ and the pianist will begin playing. And if the Lord's done work in your heart, then you come forward. You do business with the Lord.